Well, I trust you're all good, and you ready to get knees wet? Not only ankles now. some may even be going waist deep, but God is taking us deeper into walking in truth and the freedom that comes when we walk in His truth. So He's sharing a lot, and what He's sharing with us. Or don't be surprised if it takes a while to get the revelation and for it to be established, because we are so rooted in the law, and we don't realize just how much we've been sort of held captive under the authority of the law, and we will explain more as we go on and today. So yes, so we. All, I think, enjoying the journey of freedom in the spirit and all of this, and yet enjoying the reality of the nature of God in us, the righteousness of God, and the true holiness of God. So that's what we're looking at this morning. So, Father, thank you again that in your Son we are a new creation, created to be like you in true righteousness and holiness. That's incredible, Father. And we want to thank you for who we are in your Son, Jesus. We want to thank you how you reached out and how you took us out of the reality of Adam and that original sin and the consequences, and how you've redeemed us, how you've delivered us, how you've rescued us from that dominion of darkness. And you brought us into your Son, Jesus. And there is life in abundance. There is eternal life, there is freedom, there is hope, there is the power of your Holy Spirit working within us. There's a freedom from the power of sin, there's a freedom from the authority of the law, there's freedom from the incredible the power of the sinful nature. There's so much more that we can go on and on. So Father, we are your children, and I think we're going to learn more and more as you share just how deep is your love for us and how complete is your Son's sacrifice. And in him, he has dealt with every possible scenario, everything in your Son Jesus was dealt with in his death and resurrection. And we ask today that by your Holy Spirit, you'll once again take us into the depth of your love, the width, the height, the incredible length of your love that's in Christ Jesus as he gave his life for us. So we thank you for you, Holy Spirit, for the wisdom, for revelation, for understanding, as you minister to us, not with the letter that kills, but with life, with you, Holy Spirit, that imparts life, and you write the letters of life on our hearts. And so we receive your full ministry in all of us, Father, wherever we may be, in our situations. We want to thank you, Father, as you impart to us, as you share with us, and this we want to celebrate in and through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Good. Well, good morning to those that have joined. Yanni. Liani. Okay, guys, today we're carrying on, and as I shared there, there's so much that our Father is sharing with us that he just loves to share, because he wants us to live in the truth of what it is to be a new creation. And so we're going to continue in Romans 7. But I think just, of course, this is being recorded for others over there. I want to just quickly go to Romans chapter 1 again, because there's a few questions that have been asked recently about law. And remember, when Paul is addressing law in the book of Romans, it's not just the Ten Commandments. There's the principle of the law. There is law in general. And so all the time, the context will help us to begin to understand what Paul is busy and referring to there. We know that Paul is an apostle to the Gentiles. And so we see there in Romans chapter 1, when he says over there about his calling, this incredible gospel from God, through him we have received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. So Paul is speaking a lot about the law, but he's addressing a Gentile audience. And that, so we've got to understand, how does this terminology, the Paul's teaching of the law, impact, apply to the Gentiles living in Rome? And that is why you can't just say, you know, it's only for the Jews, because salvation is for the Jews and the Gentiles. And that's an important reality. And so we've looked at this, over the past weeks, where we saw over there with, for instance, there that when we speak about the Ten Commandments, we're speaking about really the moral law of God. It is God's righteousness. It is, and when you speak about moral law, it's the reality of right and wrong. It's a reality. And so when there's a reality of right and wrong, there's consequences. If you obey the law, there's the blessing. If you disobey the law, there is the curses. There is the discipline. There's the condemnation. And that, and so the Ten Commandments that were given in the written form, remember before that, as we shared before, when God gave Adam a command, he gave Adam a law, he gave Adam an instruction, and the instruction was about the two trees, but also about the ruling the earth, multiplying. That's also part of the law of God. And we saw there that Adam disobeyed God over there, and so he broke the law, and he then became, for the first time, he had the knowledge of what was right and what was wrong. He had the knowledge of what was good and what was evil. Now his conscience was awakened in that area. Before, all he understood was he lived in the perfect goodness of God. Everything was in the goodness of God. Remember, after creation, God said, and it is very, very good. And so that was the environment. The disobedience took him out of that reality. And now he was aware that he had now violated. He knew now what he had done was wrong. So he went and hid himself, because that's the reality of guilt that comes in. And all of that was imputed, as we saw there in Romans chapter 5, Adam's sin, his disobedience, the consequences was imputed to mankind. And so all mankind have sinned. Okay, and so that's now Paul is working in this teaching of his. He's explaining this. He's busy expounding and speaking about the new nature. He's speaking about the law of the spirit of life, the law of sin and death. He's speaking about many, many areas that have a governing authority over people. And so the context helps us to understand what Paul is busy saying when it comes to the law. And so, again, just to go back and have, so in Romans chapter 3, when Paul is now speaking, because remember in Romans 2, Paul is saying there that man is created in the image of God. So all of mankind has within their very nature a, almost like the DNA of what is righteousness, what is not righteousness, what is right and what is wrong. It's all in the reality of mankind. The moral standard of God, the moral goodness, the perfect way of relating with people, everything is, it's in that, we have it inside of us. And that's why in Romans chapter 2, when Paul writes over there that even the Gentiles, they are very aware of the requirements of the law, even though they did not have the written law. The Jews got the written law. But in the hearts of all mankind, they are very aware now, because of the knowledge of good and evil, they are very aware of what the difference between good and evil. And that standard is that nature of God that's in us. Although it's a fallen nature, although it's distorted, there is still a form of that standard of God's goodness. And so no one is free from the guilt of that. All have fallen short of the glory of God. And then he says over there in Romans 3, that main portion over there, that there's no one righteous, not even one, etc. And he says over there, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. And so here we see that it applies to Jew and to Gentile, to the written law and to the law in the heart of mankind. All are held accountable. The whole world is held accountable. Therefore, all have broken the law of God. All have fallen short of the perfect standard of God's righteousness, and therefore there's a consequences. Okay, so then we came and we get to Romans chapter 8, because this is where we head into. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation. So he's building on Romans chapter 7. Therefore there's now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. If there wasn't law, this scripture wouldn't be in. When we break a law, there is condemnation. When we break a law, there is the judgment, there is the verdict. Okay? So there's something that God did in enabling us who are believers to be able to be removed from being guilty of violating a law of God, and placed into a place where that consequences of breaking the law no longer applies to us. Okay? Because in Romans chapter 8, therefore there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He's speaking to the believers, to every single believer that is by faith received Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And you will see as in Paul's writing all the time, he compares. He's comparing those who are in Christ Jesus and those who are not in Christ Jesus. Those who are still in Adam and those who are in Christ Jesus. He compares the fruit of the Spirit versus the acts of the flesh. So all the time there's this comparison. And here in Romans chapter 8, again, he's comparing those in Christ Jesus, those that are still in Adam, and the fruit of that, the actions of that, the results of all of that. He's comparing that in Romans chapter 8 over there. And so he says here in Romans 8 verse 2 or verse 1, therefore there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus the law, so here we see another understanding of the law, the rule, the governing authority of the Spirit gives life. Very important, because that's the law we are now under. Okay, that's the law that governs us. We're no longer under the law of the Ten Commandments, okay? And you may say, whoa, are we throwing away the Ten Commandments? No, because in Christ Jesus, we are a new creation created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So no longer are we trying to live and use the Ten Commandments as the standard to improve our lives, the standard to become righteous, the standard to become holy, the standard to live a pure life. We're not using that as a standard anymore, because that's worked our own human ability to try and to improve our Christian lives. We're no longer there. We are now under a new operating law, and that's the law of the Spirit. And that we are living from the inside, and we are. This is who we are. We are created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's who we are. So we're no longer looking at the Beatitudes and saying, well, that's the standard. I've got to now do something to live according to that standard of the Beatitudes. No, we are the Beatitudes. You see, that's the reality of being in Christ Jesus, who we are. And we're living from that place, who we are in Christ Jesus, and we're living our lives from that place, and not from trying to use the Ten Commandments to become holy, to please God, to be accepted by God, etc., etc. And you may say, but that's not applicable. Guys, in the body of Christ, all of us are rooted and established in the Ten Commandments, because that is the Word of God. The Ten Commandments was there to awaken within us the reality of sin. It was to awaken within us that, listen, do not, as Paul writes, they do not covet. And all of a sudden, it's like, wow, it's to awaken the desires. It's awaken the sinful nature that's within every mankind. It's made that alive. So now I will now become conscious. Every time I covet, I'm now conscious that I've done wrong. So in the old covenant, well, let me go and offer a sacrifice. Okay. And that was what the way that the part of the grace of God in dealing with that, but it didn't cleanse, it didn't change the heart. It didn't deal with the sinful nature. It didn't deal with the power of sin. Only in Christ is the power of sin, is the fallen nature dealt with. And that's why in Christ, it's a whole different law that operates. And it says over there, free from the law of sin and death. Okay, here's another aspect of the law. The wages of sin is death. Okay, if we are trying to live our Christian life based on the Ten Commandments, and we are disobeying one commandment, we have disobeyed. We are lawless people. Lawlessness there. So the wages of that, the law that operates in sinning, is death. You cannot change that law. Only in Christ Jesus is that law broken. And then he carries on, for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. We'll get to that soon. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law, this is crucial, in order that the righteous requirements of the law, the righteous requirements of those Ten Commandments, might be fully met in us. Wow. Oh, may the Spirit open this up. Here is freedom, guys. Here is freedom. Total freedom from the consequences of disobeying the laws of God. And understanding now, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order, the purpose of him going to the cross was that the righteous requirements of the law, that what God demanded, what the law demanded, that the law demanded perfect obedience. The law demanded that. So whatever the law required of mankind, Christ fulfilled that, and now, because we are in Christ Jesus, that has been fully met. The righteous requirements of the law have been fully met in us who are believers. We do not live according to the flesh. We don't live according to Adam anymore, because we are a new creation in Christ, but according to the Spirit. That's the new creation in Christ. So this, guys, is where God wants us to grow into the freedom of this, the acceptance of knowing the freedom of free from guilt, knowing there that because subconsciously we don't realize just how the law still has a hold over us. Because maybe I've sinned, or maybe I've done that, and then subconsciously we sort of, oh God, there's a judgment on us. Many times something happens in our lives, and the first thing that goes into people's thoughts is, what have I done wrong that God's doing this to me? Is God punishing me? See, that's because it's rooted in still under the authority of the law. We haven't not understood yet how the righteous requirements of the law is fully met in us. And so, In the life of Jesus, he met that. He fulfilled that. That's why in Christ Jesus, he became a curse for us, because the condemnation, the judgment of you and I disobeying the Ten Commandments is condemnation. It's the curse that comes with that. It's the consequences. He became a curse for us. He delivered us from the law and redeemed us from the law. And this is the good news of God to both Jew and to Gentile. And so here in Romans chapter 7, as we look at this over there, we were here in verse 1, and I'm going to try and get to verse 6 this morning. Okay. That was a long introduction, but this is so important to keep on repeating, because you'll experience. That's why I said, don't be surprised if this takes a while. But as we grow in this, as we meditate in this, the freedom, the total, what can I say, the joy of knowing that if we mess up, if we for a moment covet somebody, we are jealous about this, if for a moment we may not love God with all our heart, for a moment we you know, whatever the Ten Commandments are, at the moment we are, just don't respect my parents or something like that over there, to know that in Christ Jesus, our Heavenly Father is not bringing the consequences of you and I breaking a commandment. Totally free from that. There's no condemnation. And that, and so it, there's a freedom, but we will get into that. Now, because I know the people that you're going to be sharing this with, that they're going to have that argument about, or then I can just live as I want. No, because grace has a power. The Lord, the Spirit has a power of holiness. Okay. And, we are credited to be hit like him in true righteousness and holiness. That's our life. We live holy. We live righteous. It's our nature. It's our new nature. And so, they just need understanding the fullness of the message of the gospel of God, so that they won't come up with these arguments. And so here in Romans 7 verse 1, and Paul writes about the authority, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives. And here it's the law in general. It's a principle of law, whether it is the Ten Commandments, whether it's the law of the nation, whether it's the law of sin and death, the law of the Spirit of life. The law has authority as long as that person is alive. Okay, and then he gives an example of marriage. And once the husband dies, she's now free from the law, and now she can marry someone else, and she will not be called an adulteress. And so that's what the context is over there. But what's important is that in verse 3, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. So the terminology is a marriage here. The terminology is a union that Paul is using. And so then in verse 4, so my brothers and sisters, say, speaking again to the believers, to every single believer, whether you are some people say you're a carnal Christian or a spiritual Christian, he's speaking to every child of God, whether we are carnal or spiritual, make no difference. He's speaking to all of us who are in Christ Jesus, because this is our truth. Many don't know the truth, and that's why they're battling with the passions of the sinful nature. They don't understand what took place in dying to that. And so they're battling, but this is the truth to all believers in Christ Jesus. So my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law. So you've died to the authority that the law had over you, over us. We died to the authority. In other words, the verdict of that law, the condemnation of the law, all of the consequences of failing to obey the law, failing to obey the Ten Commandments, we've died to that authority. We've died to the consequences. Now, we are no longer married to the Moses law. We're no longer married to the requirements, to the reality of the Ten Commandments, because we are now married to another, to Christ Jesus. And that is what he's busy bringing in over here. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ. And remember Romans chapter 6 verse 1 onwards, that Christ's death, he died to sin once and for all. Likewise, you and I, in our union with Christ, we've died to sin once and for all. In his resurrection, he was raised to a new life. We also, in our union, we are raised to a new life. And so he's flowing, he's continuing with that there. So not only do we see that in the death of Jesus, died to the old humanity, died to the power of sin, but also to the authority, to the power of the law, also included in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by faith, you and I, as we recognize that and we say, God, through your Son, I want to thank you that I have died in Jesus. I've died to the authority that the law had over mankind. Just that appropriation of that brings in a dimension of freedom. Where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. And all of a sudden, there's a growth over there of being free from... How do you know? This is how I tested in my own life. When I read the Ten Commandments, because the purpose of the Ten Commandments is to awaken within us the reality of the power of the sinful nature. Now, when you read the Ten Commandments, and maybe you are, but I'm slipping over there, do you feel condemned, or is it like there's just no effect because you've died to that? See, that's how you start to recognize whether this is a truth in your life or not, because you realize, but okay, maybe I've messed up there, but it has no effect. It's not bringing in condemnation, because you know that you've died to the authority of disobeying that law. Now, in the law of the Spirit, you are living a righteous life. You are living from the inside out, and that is a true righteousness. That is a true holiness. The full requirements, the righteous requirements of the law has been fully, not only half or partially, has been fully met in us. It's a big truth, guys. Meditate on that. Take time and ask the Holy Spirit to open this up there, and you'll soar like an eagle. Because you experience, you will run into the arms of God. You will not hide from God. There's no more of that guilt. You're free of guilt, because of this incredible truth that is found in Christ Jesus. We will deal with sanctification as we go on, but now we're just dealing with the authority of the law. And so it carries on, and notice what Paul writes over there, so that you might belong to another, to him was raised from the dead. And so this is the union. This is the union that we now have with Christ. Remember in Ephesians chapter 5, in Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul speaks about the, from Genesis chapter 2, about the husband will leave, or Genesis 3, where the husband will leave and be united to his wife. And Paul writes over there concerning this. He says over there, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. And this is the union now that we're talking about. This is the union that Jesus speaks about when he says to the guys in John chapter 15, and he speaks about that if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. This is the union that Paul speaks about in Romans chapter 6, about being baptized into Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit, one with him. That's the union. That's the oneness that we're speaking about over here. And so Paul is saying over here that we are no longer in union with the law. We are no longer in union with those Ten Commandments. Yes, we obey them because we're living from the inside out, and we are credited to be like God in true righteousness. So that's our nature. That's our character. There is that reality of us living them out. And that. So he carries on and he says over there, but now you're in Christ, you've died to that union. That's why that law cannot condemn you anymore. Because you've died to the union of the law. You've died to that. You're no longer married to that. That authority of the law is not your reality anymore. There's a new authority, the law of the Spirit of life. That's the new authority. Okay? The other authority is, because you've sinned, there's the law of sin and death. You're no longer under that authority. You're under a new authority. You've been married to another man, Christ Jesus. That's who we belong to. We belong to him now. We belong to him. That's a union. That's a united. We've been purchased by his blood. We've been redeemed by his blood. So we belong to him who was raised from the dead. Now, this is the reason. In order that we might bear fruit for God, in order that we might bear fruit from God. Guys, it is impossible to bear fruit for God if we are married to the law. Whether it's the Ten Commandments, whether it's the law of a church organization, whether it's the law of a country, makes no difference. You're married to that law, we cannot produce fruit for God. It's impossible. That is why we have to die to the authority of the law, be married, be united to Christ Jesus in order for us to be able to bear fruit for God. I think all of us, and we've been in there, in whether it is Reformed churches, traditional churches, whether it is charismatic, Pentecostal, third day, you name it, and that, it is so easy to start off with a simple faith in Christ Jesus, and then slowly but surely add on stuff that we've got to do to be accepted, whether accepted by God or accepted by mankind. And so we've got all these rituals and that. And what takes place all of a sudden, we are now living under the authority of the law. And what takes place? It's not long where there's a very legalistic teaching, where there is sexual immorality taking place, where there's all kinds of pornography taking place, where there's so much taking place, because the law, whether it is the Ten Commandments or the law of a church or whatever the case may be, what takes place over there is that it arouses, it stirs up the sinful nature, and one will fall into that. The law cannot produce sanctification. Keeping the law cannot produce inner life change, the heart being changed. Ezekiel 36 is very clear, where Ezekiel prophesies that I will put my spirit in you, give you a new nature, and by my spirit enable you to be able to follow my ways. See, that's the new covenant. That's the reality of this life in Christ Jesus. And so in your discipling with people, they're going to be trying to live to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. They're going to read Galatians 5. They're going to read about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And they're going to say, wow, yes, I believe that. And that's wonderful. But all the time, if they don't understand the reality of being dead to the law, they're going to desire that. That's why Romans 7 is so crucial. They're going to desire that. But they're going to be falling short of that. They're going to now feel guilty because they're not living up to that standard. In other words, they are under the law. They're still under the authority. That's why there's condemnation, because they know the difference between right and wrong. They don't understand life and death yet. So now, oh, I've done wrong. I'm not living up to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And because I'm trying to do it on my own by obeying this, obeying that, and being a good Christian, reading, tithing, going to church, etc., etc. No. In Christ Jesus, the righteous requirements of the law have been fully met in us. In Christ Jesus is the law of the Spirit works. We've got to know that we've died to the authority of the law, and now we are married to Christ Jesus in order for the law of the Spirit of life to become the new governing authority in our lives. That's the fruit. You see, we're talking about fruit. When Paul's speaking over there in Galatians chapter 5, and he's speaking because again, he's comparing, remember in Galatians, here are believers that have simply believed God. Now comes people that's wanting to bring in the Ten Commandments. They're wanting to bring in the Mosaic Law. They're wanting to bring in not only the Ten Commandments, they're also wanting to bring in the civil law of the Jews. They're wanting to bring in the social law of the Jews and circumcision and all that over there. And Paul is saying, no, 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 no. And so he's addressing the believers in Galatia. He's addressing them and say, guys, you're living in an environment where the Jewish religion is pretty strong. And people are wanting to enslave you, to take you back into that. He says, that's not you. That's not you. You've been set free from the requirements of that. You've been set free from the authority of all of that. In Christ Jesus, there's no Jew or Gentile. There's a new creation. And so he's touching that. And so when he speaks in Galatians 5, when he says over there, so as I walk in the spirit, you not gratify the desires of the flesh. You've got to be under the law of the spirit in order for sanctification to take place. If you're under the law of the Ten Commandments, sanctification cannot take place. What the law intended to do was weakened by the sinful nature. Okay? If the law could have produced us in a right standing with God, and that Christ wouldn't have come. Christ came because the law couldn't. Christ redeemed us from being under the law in order for us to be able to truly live as a child of God, as a son of God. For the flesh desires was the contrary to the spirit, what is contrary, down conflict. And so here he's dealing, and he says the acts of the flesh are obvious. That's the fallen nature. That's the sinful nature, the acts and that. But we have been put to death in Christ Jesus in order that we may bear fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. It's not acts of the flesh. It's the fruit of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit that's within us. And that's our reality. That's why it's a natural reality for us to love God with all our hearts. It's a natural reality for us to not have any other idols. It's the natural reality for us to honor our parents, etc. It's a natural reality to keep the Sabbath because the Sabbath is now in Christ Jesus. He is our Sabbath rest. We see in Hebrews. And that it's a natural reality to abide in that Sabbath rest in Christ Jesus, free from the works of the law, because we've died to the law. It's a natural reality. That's the power. That's the law of the Spirit operating within us. And that we are free from that Mosaic law and so forth. And so, That's the reality. And then he says over here, nearly finished, again in verse 4, in order that we might bear fruit for God. And this fruit for God, remember Jesus says the same, Jesus in John 15, he says, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. The only way to bear fruit is to be divorced, is to die to being married to the law and being married to Christ Jesus. That's the only way you and I can bear fruit. That's the only way for sanctification. That's the only way for holiness. There's no other way, guys. There's no other way. It's the reality of being in Christ Jesus, appropriating this truth, walking in this truth. It's the only way. We live naturally. We talk to God. We worship God from the inside. We read the Word of God. We delight in the Word of God from the inside, etc. But it's not from the outside doing all this stuff, and that's the difference between the law, being under the Mosaic law, and being having died to that and being in Christ Jesus. And being married to Christ Jesus. And then he carries on over there, bear fruit for God. And that fruit for God, you will see there, it's huge. Remember in Romans chapter 6, Jesus died. Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. We too may live a new life, the newness of life. And he carries on over there concerning Jesus. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. This is the only way that you and I can live our lives to God. There's no other way. Okay? Or, aren't you pleased that you died to the law and with Christ Jesus? You're trying to please God and serve God under the authority of the law in what is right and what is wrong. But now you live in the reality of what is life, and live in the law of the spirit of life and not in the law of sin and death. Okay, and then just finally over there, for when we were in the realm of the flesh, okay, that's when we were still in Adam, when we were still in that realm of the Adamic nature, we were still in realm of the power of sin, we were still in realm where the sinful, the body of sin, the desires and the passions of the sinful nature ruled us, governed us. Okay, we are no longer there. So my brothers, we've died to that, okay? But when we were, that's our past. It's not who we are now. When we were in the realm of the flesh, he's speaking to every single believer, whether you're carnal or spiritual, every single believer, this is our truth. It needs to be appropriated by faith. That's why we need to teach and disciple your friends, etc. The sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us so that we bore fruit for death. That's not us anymore. We do not produce fruit for death any longer. Now we produce fruit for God. We bear fruit for God. That's the result of us dying to the law. But now by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law. We've been loosed from that law. The authority of that law is no longer our authority. So that in order that we may serve in a new way of the Spirit, in the newness that the Spirit has given to you and I, we will now be able to live, we will now be able to start, we will now be able to be able to please God. Without faith as a book to God, now we confidently believe, we are now experiencing now, as we live from this place onwards and appropriating at this truth, we are able to please God. We are able to live in a new life. And what does he say? We are able to serve in a new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Praise God. Praise God that we're free from that. If you can recall scripture that I think I just needed to share. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 about the new covenant. And Paul writes over there, you yourselves are a letter written on our hearts, known and read. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Incredible. He has made us competent as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. You're wanting to live by the Ten Commandments? You've got to obey everyone there, and that kills, because there's condemnation, we've all sinned. But if we now live by the reality of the life and the law of the Holy Spirit, there's no condemnation. That's the new glory. That's incredible. That doesn't fade. Because we are established in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's why this doesn't fade as the old covenant faded, in the glory of Moses' face. So guys, I've shared a lot over there and we're going to build on more because we still need to get from verse 7 onwards over there. But as we have communion this morning, If you can just meditate on the fact that you've died and appropriated by faith, if you can just realize, but God, because I'm in Christ Jesus, the righteous requirements of the law, everything that you required of the law has been fully met in us, fully met. And because it's been fully met in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. I'm not guilty. I've been set free from failing to keep the law. Whether it's the written law or the law that's in the heart. Because we're made in the image of God and we violated the moral standard of God. We've broken that. celebrate the life of Jesus as we have communion this morning, or whatever else the Spirit has shared with you, just to be able to share and to just love Him. It's awesome. Let me just switch this on here again. Father, thank you for the reality of your love. Your greatest love that you poured, you've lavished on us, that we are called your children. Father, our prayer, the family, we pray for the family of God in our community, in our nation. We are asking that through your Holy Spirit, that the truth that is found in your Son Jesus will just spread like wildfire. And that the body, your family, Father, will live in the freedom in your Son, in the life of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life. We ask, Father, that all of us, as we are being set free gradually, as we get the revelation of so being in exile, so being trapped, so being imprisoned by the consequences of disobeying the Ten Commandments. It becomes so real, Lord God, that your family will be able to dance with you. Your family will be able to run to you and just value you and just so be so close, Father, in just knowing the depth of your love, that we won't be found hidden, we won't be found hiding away, we won't be found with a guilty conscience creeping away from you, but totally free. We want to thank you for the power of your blood, Jesus, that continuously purifies us from all sin. We want to thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit that continuously leads us and enables us to be able to appropriate the reality that we are a new creation in Christ, ready to be like you, God, true righteousness and holiness. That is who we are, and to live. Well, thank you at the freedom of walking with you, Holy Spirit, and the incredible fruit, your fruit being released in, out of our lives. We want to thank you. So teach us as we lead, as we leave here today by your Spirit, Father, Lord Jesus, as we grasp more of your completeness and what you have done, lead us into who you are. Reveal to us more, Jesus, and the goodness, the understanding now, a little bit more of the gospel, the good news of God. It is truly good news. Too good to be true, and a stumbling block for many believers. So we ask that the stumbling block, where it's a simple faith in you, will be removed. We won't stumble over the works and the man effort to try and improve our life, but simply believe and walk with you, keep in step with you. And we thank you, Father, for the freedom that's coming in our lives, but also in our family, in our communities, through your Son, Jesus. This we ask today, Father. Amen. Amen. Amen, God. Thank you.